Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today is the Monday in the second week of Advent, December 10th, 2018. And as a result, we're going to dive into these readings that we've been kind of looking at these past couple days, and we'll continue to do throughout Advent and Christmas of this year. The first reading is a reading from the book of Isaiah, and it reads as follows. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steep will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful songs. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those hearts that are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then the lame will leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steep. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where jackals lurk will be a marsh for the reed and the papyrus. A highway will be there, called the Holy Way. No one unclean may pass over it, nor fools go astray on it. No lion will be there, nor beast of the prey go up to be met upon it. For it is for those with a journey to make, and on it will the redeemed walk. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return to enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. The word of the Lord. Our God will come to save us. Our God will come to save us. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him, glory dwelling in our land. Our God will come to save us. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring from the earth, and justice will look down from heaven. Our God will come to save us. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land will yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the ways of his steps. Our God will come to save us. Alleluia, alleluia. Behold, the King will come, the Lord of the earth, and he himself will lift the yoke of your captivity. Alleluia, alleluia. And a reading from the Gospel according to Luke. One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God and were struck with awe. And they said, "We have seen an incredible thing today." The Gospel of the Lord. And the second reading from the Office of Reading is from the Treatise on the Ascent of Mount Carmel, by St. John of the Cross, a priest. Under the ancient law, prophets and priests sought from God revelations and visions, which indeed they needed, for faith has yet no firm foundation, and the gospel law had not yet been established. Their seeking and God's responses were necessary. He spoke to them at one time through words and visions and revelations, and another in signs and symbols. But however he responded, and what he said and revealed were mysteries of our holy faith, either partial glimpses of the whole or sure movements toward it. But now that faith is rooted in Christ and the law of the gospel has been proclaimed in the time of grace, there is no need to seek him in these former manners, nor for him to so respond. By giving us, as he did, his Son, his only word, he has in that one word said everything. There is no need for any further revelation. Here is the true meaning of Paul's words to the Hebrews when he urged them to abandon their earlier ways of conversing with God, as laid down in the law of Moses, and to set their eyes on Christ alone. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets in various ways and manners. But now in our times, the last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. In effect, Paul is saying that God has spoken so completely through his own word that he chooses to add nothing. Although he had spoken but partially through the prophets, he has now said everything in Christ. He has given us everything, his own Son. Therefore, anyone who wishes to question God or to seek some new vision or revelation from him would commit an offense. For instead of focusing his eyes entirely on Christ, he would be desiring something other than Christ or beyond him. God would then answer, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In my word, I have already said everything. Fix your eyes on him alone, for in him I have revealed all, and in him you will find more than you could ever ask for or desire. I, with my Holy Spirit, come down upon him on Mount Tabor and declared, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' You do not need new teachings or ways of learning from me. For when I spoke before, it was of Christ who was to come. And when they sought anything of me, they were seeking and hoping for the Christ in whom is every good, as the whole teaching of the evangelists and apostles clearly testifies." So here we have some really good stuff. Where I want to kind of begin our little focus today is with the understanding that we get of the glory of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord being seen in the healing works of God. These here are the signs of the New Testament, the signs of what God is doing in the world today. As our writer, St. John of the Cross, points out in his homily on the Transfiguration event that is in his work, he talks about how God had spoken to those in previous times in miraculous ways, with signs and symbols, through words, visions, revelations, and all this is recorded in the scriptures. We see this in the Old Testament portions. And this here is kind of the thing that is there. And this is something we see that is the vindication that comes, divine recompense comes. The eyes of the blind are opened, the ears of the deaf are cleared, the lame leap, the mute are able to sing. And these miraculous things are seen all throughout. And it's even carried into the gospel message where the men are bringing their friend and they lay him before Jesus by opening up a roof and dropping him down in front. And Jesus heals this man. But he doesn't just heal this man. He forgives their sins. And we get the common, I would say, argument against any kind of proclamation of forgiveness in this sense or through a human person that was done by the scribes and Pharisees here is, who are you to forgive sins? It's much like when people say that a priest can't forgive sins. Who are you? Only God can forgive sins. Think about that a second. How often do you hear the accusation that no man should stand between you and God? You can confess your sins only to God alone. And the argument is simply the argument that was given by the scribes and Pharisees in this gospel reading when they began to ask themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? For who but God alone can forgive sins? I mean, this here is kind of the thing we need to be recognizing here. In times past, God spoke through the prophets. He did miraculous signs and wonders. But not once did he heal somebody in the sense of giving them forgiveness. Healing and forgiveness kind of go hand in hand. In order to prove forgiveness of sins, healing is always tied to that particular event. And there we have the sign. There we see how the difference between the old ancient law of the prophets and priests and everything that happened under the law of Moses was just a precursor of what was to come. We see that our faith being rooted in Christ and in the law of his gospel allows us to overcome some of these false misconceptions and really see past to something a lot greater, something a lot more mysterious and magnificent. Because there are streams that are bursting forth in the desert, as Isaiah says. The sands becomes pool. They're no longer hot to the touch. You can actually walk on them. These are the things that are happening in our days. And a highway's there, a holy way, a pathway for you to get to God. It's not something that an unclean person or somebody in sin will be allowed to, because this is the promise of eternal hope. And it's a promise that we can have. But it's not something that is a promise afar off. As the response oral psalm reminds us, I will hear what God proclaims. The Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people. Peace through forgiveness of sins. Peace through his messengers, his ambassadors, who bring the gospel of peace. A gospel of reconciliation and forgiveness. Ministers who are able to offer that particular peace and forgiveness in a confessional. This is what we're to be looking at today when we're looking at these scriptures. Jesus saw their faith. He saw these men bringing their friend to him. And he proclaimed, as for you, your sins are forgiven. He didn't just say this to the paralytic. He said it to the men who brought the paralytic. All of them had received forgiveness of sins. One of them received the ability of healing in their physical body. This is where we really get into understanding the partial glimpses, the shadows and types of the Old Testament, and how they prefigure the deeper relationship that we're called to in Christ. Because anyone who wants to question God nowadays is questioning Christ just like the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes did. I mean, this is something we need to be aware of. People are prevented from coming to Jesus by normal means. There's a lot of people blocking them on their way. The crowd basically kept these men from getting their friend before Jesus so that he could heal him. So they had to go up on a roof. They had to go to extraordinary lengths to get this man in front of Jesus. And this is why faith was seen by what they did. James talks about how you say you have faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, faith works and does things that reveal something more. And this is what's basically being shown in this particular passage of the gospel reading today. And we're here to hear the Son. Because God basically says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. His word in which he has said everything, him on whom we're supposed to fix our eyes alone. reason why we go to Mass is not because the priest is holy, but because he stands in the personage of Jesus. The reason why confession works is not because the priest himself is holy and has great ability in and of himself, but because they receive the forgiveness from somebody who is acting in the place of Christ, in the name of Christ, as a representative of Christ. Now, this needs to be clarified for some people out there. It does not mean that in everything that a priest does, they represent Christ. It does not mean that the priest is the full embodiment of Christ in all ways. In fact, the same can be said of your life. As a Christian, as someone who's Christ-like, as someone who also has the ability to pray in Jesus' name, to basically use a power of attorney privilege and represent Jesus as an ambassador, a co-worker with him in grace, as a branch on the vine, you don't always live out the life of Christ for others. Called to be crucified with Christ and nevertheless live, sometimes you don't. We all don't. We all fail. But that's where God gives his grace. And if we go into the confessional and confess our sins, we will hear the words of the Son being spoken to us when the priest lifts up his hand and says, "I absolve you of all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit." Because it's not him who gives that particular absolution. He gives it to you because he has the power given to him by the church. Because he even puts that into the statement. By the power of the church, may God forgive you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Think about that the next time you hear these words. Think about the speaking of God's Son. And listen to the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." You can truly understand this truth where kindness and truth meet, where justice and peace kiss, when you are in a confessional setting, having that moment with God where you are being made right because you were there with his representative. This is something that really needs to be understood, and it is one of the comings that are part of the middle way, the third coming of Christ to us. And it's something that we're being focused on here. While it does have an end time facing the judgment seat of God perspective, where God basically is there for salvation purposes and setting right those things that are to be made right, it's merely something that we need to recognize that God ministers to us through channels sometimes, through natural means. That's where the priest comes in to forgive sins and to be the representative of God. In fact, all the miracles that we see in Scripture that talk about Jesus being a miraculous worker are hinged upon his whole being able to have his works testify to who he was. He said it in John's gospel, "If you don't believe me for what I tell you, believe me because of the works that I do. If you don't believe me, if you want to stone me, what work is it that you're here to stone me for?" We forget that in a society that rushes to judgment and wants to condemn people, wants to take stones and throw them at people who were caught, like the woman in adultery. And we find Jesus getting down on his knees and writing in the dirt. We forget the mercy of God that sees and wants to have all men come to the knowledge of salvation, because he doesn't desire anyone to perish, especially those whom you hate personally, because of how they've wronged you. This is the reality of everything that we have. If we truly understand and seek everything from God in Christ, and as he has been made manifest through the teaching of those evangelists and apostles that have come down through the ages in the ministerial priesthood that we see. Once again, this doesn't mean that they always live right. In fact, they're just as human as you and me and just as in need of the same forgiveness and sacraments that you and I need. Nobody's perfect. But if our faith is rooted in Christ, as St. John of the Cross asked us to, we'll be able to really perceive the forgiveness of sins that comes through the ministry of others and the way God touches us and shows up for us to prepare a way for Him to return and enter into Zion so that we can all be crowned with everlasting glory, as Isaiah talks about. To truly find that place where the Lord Himself gives benefits and the land finally gives everything that it can be given. Because justice walks before Him in salvation in all the ways of His steps. Salvation that comes through healing. Physical healing of the blind. Physical healing for the mute. Physical healing for the lame and the deaf, and spiritual healing for your soul. This is something we really need to understand, because it's only then that we understand the gospel acclamation as it's supposed to be understood, that our King will come, the Lord of the earth, and He Himself will lift the yoke of our captivity. It was the reason He came in a manger some 2,000 years ago in His first coming. And it will be the purpose that He comes again at the end of time in His second coming to usher in the age of eternity that we look for, where the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God is seen everywhere, where places will bloom with abundant flowers and there will be joyful singing forever. But He Himself also lifts the yoke of our captivity today. If we hear His voice and harden not our hearts, and we truly approach Him in the confessional for forgiveness, in the Eucharist for sustaining grace, in our daily prayers, in our daily Bible studies, and in our daily interaction with other people. Because it is then that God truly does lift the yoke of our captivity. I saw a thing on Facebook not too long ago where a friend of mine made a statement about how it's time to be an adult and not let people that have wronged you keep you down, and to own your own emotions and fix your own problems. And I kind of pointed out to him that that can also go in the sense of where they get politically charged and they get into political matters. And the person got upset with me because of it, because they didn't understand what I was saying. But it was more along the lines of just reminding them and you, as I'm bringing it up here today, that we have to be more mature about things. We shouldn't just try to find the things that offend us. The Pharisees and scribes were looking at what Jesus said, and they honed in on His words. And they said, who is He to pronounce forgiveness? Well, if He's able to heal, if He's able to do miraculous signs and wonders in the name of the Lord, maybe He represents the Lord also in proclaiming a gospel of forgiveness. Forgiveness that can be given through individuals, through natural means, through water of baptism, through the blood of the cross, and the absolution of a priest in a confessional. But these are the things we need to understand and think about today. And really understand, if we truly see God come with vindication, with divine recompense to save us, if He truly comes to us in the confessional, if He truly comes to us in the Holy Eucharist of the Mass, if He truly comes to us in baptism, confirmation, in holy orders, in marriage, or the anointing of the sick, because it's in this middle way that we experience Him through the sacraments, through our prayer lives, and through our interactions with each other, that we truly get to experience and hear the Son of God, the Beloved of the Most High Father, being transfigured through natural means, you and I, and truly become that Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Hopefully today's readings and this reflection has helped you see a little bit more of the plan of God in your life and allow you to be able to testify to His glory a little bit more today and always. If it has, I hope you at least consider being a part of our little patron program and help that grow so that we can get more people joined onto that. Also, Maston 4, for those who want to be patrons, is that you support this particular podcast ministry with a $5 support, and in return, you'll get some additional broadcast. If you're unable to do that, that's understandable too, but we're just looking to kind of move forward into other areas and be a true blessing to the world and society as a whole, and we can do that with you. If you do that, we also have some additional podcasts that will help you with your prayer life, various lessons on that, also various prayers that will be out there, like the Joyful Mysteries that I released recently, that are from one of the books that I published on Amazon entitled The Rosary Devotional. But, you know, these are the things for you. Hopefully you'll consider that and be a blessing to us just as we're to you. But if not, I hope you continue to listen and download our podcast and continue being an active supporter of us that way so that we can at least get the download stuff that allow us to go into other areas of being able to bring revenue in to help support the ministry goals here and reach this gospel of the Lord for the worldwide. But other than that, I do hope that you do have a very blessed day.